Peace be with you. Friends, we're reading from the Gospel of Mark during this liturgical season. Each Gospel has its own texture, its own quality. For example, in John's Gospel, you'll often hear these lengthy discourses from the Lord. In Matthew's Gospel, you find the Sermon on the Mount, his ethical teaching laid out. Luke is famous for his parables, like the Good Samaritan, the prodigal son. What's characteristic of Mark's Gospel? Action. In Mark, we see Jesus in action. In fact, the verbs in Mark are tense, intense, active. Jesus usually is doing something, and usually quickly. The crowd seem to press in on him. He's harried by them. He moves from place to place. One of the most prominent words in Mark's Gospel is immediately. Everything's happening in an intense way. The Gospel for today gives us a kind of day in the life of Jesus. A little hint of what a day of activity would be like for him. As the story opens for today, he's just come from the synagogue, where he has dramatically expelled a demon from a possessed man. Now listen as the story goes on. Upon leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and the first thing they did was to tell him about her. He went over to her and grasped her hand and helped her up. The fever left her, and immediately, there's that word, immediately she began to wait on them. After sunset, as evening drew on, they brought to him all who were ill and those possessed by demons. Before long, the whole town was gathered outside the door. He's just come from the synagogue, having expelled a demon. He then goes to the house of Simon, and he addresses the fever of Simon's mother-in-law. And then the whole town gathers around, and it says he spends the whole night addressing all their needs, curing, healing, expelling demons. Quite a day. Anyone involved in pastoral ministry can identify to some degree with it, these days of constant activity. What's the activity? Healing. Healing. Especially in Mark. Mind you, the first of the four Gospels. Especially in Mark, Jesus the healer is on display. Now, I've spoken to you about this before, but in the 17th, 18th, 19th centuries, there was a tendency to downplay the supernatural element in the Gospels. So Jesus was, sure, an ethical teacher, a bit like a first century Jewish Confucius or Seneca or Socrates. That's reasonable enough, Jesus preaching the fatherhood of God, the brotherhood of all people. Read, for example, Jefferson's Bible. Thomas Jefferson, typical 18th century Enlightenment figure, was uneasy with the supernatural side of the Bible. So he took a scissors to it. And the Bible he presented was Jesus as an ethical teacher. Problem is, you'd find very little of Mark's Gospel in Jefferson's Bible. Because in Mark, he is a healer. One who is manifesting supernatural power to set right a world that's gone wrong. Those who are suffering spiritually, psychologically, physically, Jesus becomes the bearer of health. You know, by the way, the Gospels, of course, are written in Greek. One of the earliest terms used to describe Jesus is the Greek word soter. Soter means healer. When they translated that word into Latin, they came up with salvator. That just means the bearer of the salus. Salus means health in Latin. The salvator was the healer. Our word, Savior, comes from Salvator. Jesus, the Savior, is Jesus, the healer. You know, by the way, our word, salve, is the closest word to Savior. Salve, healing balm. That's why He's come. That's why He's come. That's who He is. Look, in Jesus, divinity and humanity meet. Therefore, Jesus' humanity, His hands and his mouth and his eyes, his whole being, his whole body becomes a conduit of God's energy. What's God's energy, God's purpose? To set right a world gone wrong. To set right a suffering world. And so, as it were, out of every pore of his being, Jesus mediates, expresses the healing energy of God. I love this detail, and you'll find it in all the Gospels. Jesus expresses in history God's ultimate intention for the world. It's as though right now breaking through is a hint of that world to come where there will be no more suffering, no more sadness, no more sickness. Jesus is a sign right now in history of heaven, God's ultimate purpose for the world. In Him, it begins to break through now. Let's look in a little more detail at these stories now. It says that Jesus entered the house of Simon. And there he sees Simon's mother-in-law with the fever. Jesus entered the house of Matthew and his friends, the tax collector. Jesus entered the house of Zacchaeus, the notorious tax collector. Here he enters the house of Simon, this ordinary fisherman. Enters the house. Jesus does not come to place himself on a pedestal, there to be worshipped from a distance. I said a few weeks ago on the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord that Jesus comes and he stands shoulder to shoulder with sinners, not waiting for them to come to him, but seeking them out. So here, Jesus does not wait for the sinner and the sufferer and the marginalized to come to him, but rather in love and humility, he goes to them. He enters into their house. Christians, listen. This same Jesus, risen from the dead, present and alive in the church, is still seeking us out, coming into our homes, not waiting for us to crawl to Him, but seeking us out in love and humility. What do Peter, James, and John do? They say, Lord, she's suffering. Lord, she has a fever. And obviously it's clear it's not just a minor problem, it's a serious problem. Lord, please help her. He's come to heal. That's his purpose. But they have the good sense, the humility, the courage to ask. Friends, it's a basic law of the Bible. When we pray, we should pray with courage, confidence, and expectation. Lord, please heal her. Now, I'm not talking about some generic request. I mean, heal her, this woman that you see. Heal her. And they pray with directness and an expectation that He will respond. So we, as we approach Jesus the healer, that's how we should pray. You know, Mass every Sunday, Mass every day, we offer prayers of petition. Not generic ones. We ask specifically, Lord, help him, help her. We name them. That's appropriate, that's right. That's acknowledging who Jesus is, Savior, healer. He heals her. It's a lovely detail, by the way. He heals her, and she gets up, and immediately waits on them, serves them. Why does Jesus heal us? Because he wants us back in the game. What's the game? It's the game of charity, the game of love, playing what God wants us to play. So immediately, once she's healed, she gets back into this life of service and love. That's why Jesus heals. Now, you can catch the excitement of this gospel. The word must have gotten around immediately. He had expelled a demon from the man in the synagogue. Now he's healed Peter's mother-in-law. And so soon, it's typical of Mark, excitement, the energy. Everybody is gathering around. He says the whole town gathered at his door. Imagine the scene. There's a great icon from the Eastern Church of this scene. It shows Jesus. And then around him, swarming around them, are every type of sufferer. Those with psychological problems. Those with every type of physical problem. Those bent over, the paralyzed. Good, good. We still gather around the Lord Jesus Christ in just that way. We come to Him with all of our sickness, all of our agony, all that besets us. And we come to Him. What does He do? The Gospel says He stays all night. They come at the fall of evening, by the way, because it's the Sabbath day. They can't work during the Sabbath. At the end of the Sabbath day, at sunset, that's when they swarm around Him. And Jesus spends the whole night healing them. Now, I know the question may be forming in your minds as I speak about Jesus the healer. Well, how come He doesn't just heal everybody? How come He doesn't just heal all of us now and get it over with? Well, obviously in the Gospels themselves, He doesn't heal everyone. He heals some. Not everyone. In all the neighboring towns were healed. The deepest answer to this question, obviously, is hidden in the will of God. But here's a consideration. Is it possible that Jesus is healing at all kinds of different levels? Sometimes physically, yes. Sometimes dramatically, yes. But sometimes in more subtle ways. Quick story. A friend of mine had a husband who was dying of cancer at the age of 42. It was a shock to him, to his family, a source of great anxiety, obviously. She heard about a healer, a Catholic healer who was coming to the area. And she said, I'd like you to go to the service. At first he was very reluctant. But eventually he agreed, okay, I'll go to the service. So she brought him to this healer. And the healer came forward and he laid his hands on the man's head and he prayed. Nothing dramatic happened. He wasn't healed physically. But that night the two of them went home. And over this suffering man came a peace that he had not dreamed possible. A peace that enabled him to move toward death with a sense of hope. And my friend said the more amazing thing in some ways was over her came an enormous peace which enabled her to accept his coming death even with a sense of hope. We all come to Christ, the Savior, the healer, seeking, seeking, seeking. Are some cured physically? Yeah, sometimes, for God's purposes and God's ways. Are some of us healed at different levels of our lives? Yes. The point is to come to Jesus Christ, to come to Him as the center, to come to Him as the source of God's power, and with confidence to expect from Him God's healing grace. God bless you.